So this is what it takes to make your will break. Open you up like a rose. So this brings that soul kiss, dripping like dew, ripping through your favorite clothes. And when you do not recognize me.
The Golden Notebook Bookstore and author Robert Burke Warren will be celebrating the publication of his debut novel, Perfectly Broken. The Perfectly Broken Book Party with music will take place at the Kleiner James Arts Center in Woodstock on Saturday, where Robert will read, play songs featured in the story, hold a Q&A, and, of course, sign books. The novel tells the story of Grant Kelly. His rock star days may be behind him, but as a stay-at-home dad, his life is getting more interesting by the day. It's the beginning of the post-9/11 era, and he and his wife and four-year-old son have traded a New York City apartment for a Catskills farmhouse, where ghosts from the past, worries for the future, and temptations in the present converge to bring about drastic changes in their marriage, their friendships, and their family. How do you make up this stuff? Robert Burke Warren is a musician and writer whose work has appeared in many publications, including the DaCapo anthology, The Show I'll Never Forget, and we welcome him to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I'm very good, Joe. It's such a pleasure to be here. I've dreamed of this moment.
Well, thank you. It's a great pleasure to have you on and talking about a novel which... because we know you, I know it has been in the works for a long time. So congratulations that it is out.
And, thank you.
And not only is it out, but it's damn entertaining.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
So what possessed you?
the big question is why. I was noticing around the time that I was about to hit 40 that there was a lot of drama. Happening around, excuse me, in my peer group, in my life, and in my friends' lives, and these stories were intriguing to me and beautiful, and I realized that that everyone, if you have the opportunity to live long enough, sort of the tax that you pay on that is dealing with things like grief and loss and and crisis, and I wanted to, I decided to weave a story together where different people, different couples, go through some trials and tribulations, and I wanted to, because I'm a musician, I wanted to have musicians in it. I wanted it to be something of a rock novel, but I wanted it to appeal to all kinds of people, not necessarily people who are musicians or artists or anything. And then I thought, well, this happens to everybody. All of these things that these people go through happen to everybody. So I put it all together in this, or I wove as many threads as I could into this book.
So one of my takeaways was, and so correct me if I'm wrong here, but this seems like a meditation in some way.
Yes. Yes. One thing it's funny, the book revealed itself to me as I wrote it, and it is a meditation on forgiveness. One thing I realized, too, while I was writing it is forgiveness isn't really a place. It's like a road, and you think, well, what does that road look like? And it's hard to get through life without – it's impossible, I think, to get through life without having to either be forgiven or forgive other people. If you're going to maintain relationships, and what does that look like? And so that's a big part of it, and it's also a meditation on how, like my protagonist Grant, a lot of things in his life are quite beautiful, but he doesn't really realize it, and I want the reader to realize it, and then enjoy as he has an epiphany, these epiphanies along the way, the good things in his life. I want the reader to feel that revelation.
So when you write a novel like this, does it allow you, perhaps for a moment, perhaps for longer, to forgive yourself?
Well, it gets me a little further on the road. Let me say that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
It helps you work through stuff.
Right. Yeah. That was the story that I wanted to weave, because I know so many people that struggle with that. And yes, it does. It does. It brings me face to face with my own feelings of I don't know. Do I want to say self-loathing? Yes, I do.
or another word is guilt.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, all those things are very much a part of every parent that I know. That's the parenthood and weaving parenthood into your life is a big part of it. And I of course, know a lot of people who are parents. And I don't know anybody that doesn't wrestle with feelings of guilt of not being the parent that they thought they could be. My heart goes out to my fellow parents as well. So I wanted to present a book that addressed that as well. You know, that you're going to make mistakes, but there's a way out of the hole that you're going to dig yourself into.
Is there safety in number? You and I, we're very similar in age. So I asked this question there's a point where you go out into the world and you're very idealistic and wide-eyed, and then life kind of slaps you upside the head a couple times or several times. And as you say, then the self-loathing comes in. And then at some point you realize, oh, okay, well, I got through that and I can go on maybe for whatever else is going to slap me around.
Yeah, you're tougher than you think,
yeah.
And especially if you're prone to melancholy, you can get into a dark place. But it's always good to know, and it's with a complete loss of perspective, you can get into this place with a complete loss of perspective, depression, grief, anxiety. All right. Of those conditions are a narrowing of perspective, but I would, which is part of my book. I put that in there as much as I could without making it too much, but I put that in there. But I also wanted to show that it's. No feeling is final. There's this great Rilke poem, and that's a line from it.
There, of course, you mentioned this early on, and I don't want to lose sight of this, but this is a musical book. I mean, it is, and as I mentioned at this event, you'll be performing songs that are part of and apropos to the book.
Yes.
So I love asking this question to writers, which is, so when you write a novel that is musical in nature, are you listening to music as you're writing it?
No, absolutely not. I can't do it.
Okay. Now why? I love this question because I get such varied answers. So there's people that say, I have a playlist,
right.
I have 12 songs, I immerse myself into the zone, and that's all I listen to.
Oh, it gives me anxiety just to think about that.
Okay. No. What is there about that gives you anxiety?
I'm exaggerating, but interestingly, my wife and my son are both writers, and they both listen to music while they write.
Yeah,
and I can't do it. I'm better at it than I used to be, but I need silence. To me, I can't remember who said this, but music is not just the notes; it's the spaces between the notes.
Yes.
You know, and I need those spaces. I need quiet. My brain is really loud. My brain is really loud. You know, and it's like there's like all kinds of.
Which there's two ways of looking at that, which is the brain is loud and it could overcome the music and you could still move on, but. No, it's also solitary.
It's solitary. No, yeah. I mean, there's music playing in my mind all the time. Usually,
right.
It's music from it's AM radio music from the 70s. Mm-hmm. There's like a constant soundtrack of like commercials and all the radio that I listened to as a kid is going on in my brain at all times. And I could, you know, I could recite the lyrics to "The Night Chicago Died" right now by Paper Lace if you wanted me to, because that's in there forever. But I can't listen to music while I'm writing it doesn't work for me.
Just for the record, I do want you to, but I'm just going to ask you more questions because I want to get the most out of the interview. But it is good. So when you come and you play songs that are featured in the story, will they, as you're playing them, are you only thinking of the song, or are you thinking of where you were in writing the book and those emotions?
I'm usually just thinking of the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the beauties of playing a song, and one of the wonderful things about being able to play songs is that it's when you're playing the song, you have to kind of immerse yourself in the music, or you can't do it. It's like an athlete when they're you know, making the jump shot. I don't think they're thinking of anything at that moment but making the jump shot, and I think, at least for me, that's one of the tonics of being able to play music, is that it takes me away into a, and writing when it's going really well is like that as well. You're just in the moment right then and there. So when I play the music, when I play the songs live, which are also, by the way, available for download on my website.
Yes.
But also the book came before the songs too. When I was writing the book, I thought, well, maybe I should write these songs. Because I've read, there's some rock novels that I really like. There's Stone Arabia and by Dana Spiota, and of course, The Visit from the Goon Squad. And there was a great book called Beautiful Ruins. And these books all have songs in them. And there was an aspect to Jonathan Franzen's Freedom, where there was a rock star in there, and there were mentions of songs. But those songs only exist in the reader's mind. And I thought maybe I would do that, but then I couldn't help myself. And so I just wrote the songs. And then I thought that they were pretty good. And it was fun to approach them as 90s period pieces, because all the songs in the book take place in the, or were written or were hits or almost hits in the 90s. So it was fun to go into a recording studio and say, I want this song to sound like Nirvana. I want this song to sound like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I want this song to sound like the Gin Blossoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those were the templates that we used. That was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
You just reminded me of what a great novel Beautiful Ruins is. That's a great novel.
It is a great novel. And I heard it's being made into a movie, and I'm ambivalent about that.
It depends. I've given up on that, because sometimes they're great and other times they're horrible.
Jess Walter.
So let's talk about the idea of when you look at something like this, because I ask journalists who become novelists all the time of, does that pursuit help you in being a novelist? Artists or attorneys, people of different walks of life who are at the core, as you have identified yourself, as writers, because that's what they do. It's a different type of writing, but it's still writers. They're writers. So being a musician, does that help? Is that just another way of expressing yourself, or is it a completely new skill set that you had to learn?
There are similarities. Being a musician, and the similarities come down to just time and work, and devotion to you surrender yourself over to time. You know, you're like, I am going to have to sit and learn this, and whether it's learning how to play or writing a song and trying to make that work. For the same thing with the book. This book was, you know, it was a long process for me to get it done. And I wrote two books before this. This is actually not, I mean, it's my first published book.
Right.
But I wrote two full-length novels before this that did not get published, and that's how I learned to do it. I had to learn by doing.
Do you want them to be published, or will they never see the light of day?
I do want them to be published, but I need to go back and rewrite them.
Okay.
I was learning how to do it. You know, that's how you learn how to write a book, is to write a book.
Were the same type of novels, or were they not as personal?
No, the first one was a gift for my son.
Okay.
He and I made up stories at bedtime. I mean, he's 18 now, so that'll give you an idea when this was. It's a long time ago. This is a little 10 years ago. And we would make up characters, and he would make up characters. Anyway, so we would tell stories after we had read books. And then, as a gift, I wrote some chapters featuring the characters that we had come up with, the characters that he had come up with. And it was, he lost his mind. He thought it was the most amazing thing that had ever happened. And so I kept doing it. After about a year, I had a book to give. I gave him on his 10th birthday. So that was 8 years ago. And then there was some interest in that from an agent, and but nothing really took. And and then I wrote a second one, which was also a young adult novel about an 80s hair metal star and his estranged son. And so I and that one also got, you know, it was I was circling around what I really wanted to write about, which was you know, I really wanted to write about grown-ups and grown-up problems and grown-up things, and write for a book that I would really want to read myself,
and that evolution as a grown-up.
Yeah, and so it was an evolution, and then I sat down and I joined writers groups, and I got, you know, I got journalism work working for Chronogram and working for, you know, I did things for The Weeklings and Salon, and working with editors really helped, and I built my confidence up because there was a lot of fear that I had to overcome to write this. And so to help overcome that, I sought out peers, and I really have to give it up to them because they were very helpful, my writers groups. And luckily, you know, in the Hudson Valley in particular, but Woodstock, it has this incredible...
Well, it's the Mecca, right?
It is writer's Mecca. You know, you throw a rock into a crowd, you're going to hit a writer on the head.
Yep.
So anyway, that was integral to the process for me, was getting you know, getting out of my house and showing my pages to people. But anyway, so it all coalesced into this, and I did find a publisher who really loved the book out of Connecticut, and here we are.
So the Perfectly Broken Book Party with music will take place at the Kleinert James Art Center in Woodstock on Saturday. No rocks necessary. Where you will read and play songs and hold a Q&A and sign books. And are you doing any other events? Are you going around?
Yeah, I'm part of the Woodstock Writers Festival as well.
Great.
And I'm going to be on the fiction panel. Martha Frankel, my dear friend, she put me on the fiction panel. And you can go to Woodstock Writers Festival to find out about that. I'll be at the Spotty Dog in Hudson on Good Friday, and I'm going to be, you know what? You can go to robertburkwarren.com and go to my events page, and
find out all that stuff.
That's my surrogate brain there that has all the information that you might want.
I have that down here as well. So
thank
you. I can give people two sites they can go to. One is goldennotebook.com, where they can find out about the event that'll be taking place on Saturday and at the Kleinert James Art Center. It's a Golden Notebook event. Goldennotebook.com. That's the book party and the celebration and a lot to celebrate. And then if you want to find out more about Robert's work, including those songs that he mentioned, go to robertburkwarren.com. Robert Burke Warren, that's B-U-R-K-E, robertburkwarren.com.
A lot of R's in my name.
Yeah, well, that's all right. that's legal. It's great to have you. I congratulate you on putting this all together, and I know you've been working very hard on it for a long time, and it's great to see it in print, and it's, as I said, it's very entertaining and a beautiful work, and I thank you very much for sharing with us.
Joe, it really means a lot to me that you have me on here. It really does. When I say I've dreamed of this moment, that is no lie. I have.
Well, okay. Dream higher, and I thank you very much for... for being with us. Robert Burke Warren's new novel is Perfectly Broken. It is now out, and the book party is at the Kleinert James Art Center this Saturday in Woodstock, goldennotebook.com or robertburkwarren.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.